Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Motherfucking Sherlock, taking out the Morlocks with his Glock. Jules Verne time machine going tick-tock with his clock.
No. I firmly stand against.
Motherfucking Steve can't handle my rock.
See, the reason that's why you failed, because you didn't have a hype man.
I need a hype man. You want to be my hype man?
No, I don't want to be hype man. I don't approve of your rap career.
Oh.
I'm the dad who does not approve.
I think that I have a theory that every movie should end with a rap about the movie itself. Like, and it should literally just be completely self-referential. Deadpool has a good one. Wolf Cop has a good one. I really recommend that every movie has a rap.
I actually haven't seen Wolf Cop yet. I was like, I keep going like, I see it on the Netflix list. I'm just like, and then I don't watch it.
It's not good, but it's not bad. It's Wolf Cop.
Okay.
It's like, it's pretty entertaining.
Well, because Kung Fury was a huge disappointment.
Well, Kung Fury was also only 15 minutes long. Wolf Cop is a full movie.
Regardless of the length, Kung Fury, like, I don't think I could have handled a feature-length Kung Fury.
No, it's not designed to be feature-length.
It was correct in its length. That's not one of my complaints about it.
All right, let's start this podcast.
Very correct in its length.
Okay, here we go. Welcome to Star Dungeons. I am your host, Worf, and with me as always is our dungeon master, Jean-Luc Picard.
Thank you, Worf. Tea, Earl Grey. Hot. Carry on.
Captain, what is our mission today? I don't know. See, I kind of wanted to do like the whole Star Trek. We should just do a whole Star Trek RPG thing and just not tell anybody that that's what we're doing for the day and just keep it going for the entire thing. At least one person really liked it.
Worf, make a saving throw.
Make a saving throw. You failed. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host, Joe. With me, as always, is the Jean-Luc Picard to my Worf. Steve.
I was
going
to say the genital warts to your dick.
Yeah, the genital warts to my scrotum, Steve.
Yes. I take something nice and I make it awful.
Awful.
That's my special skill.
All right, so we got a mailbag today, but I wanted to go over some stuff. Like, not a huge ton of gaming news otherwise. I mean, like, I don't.
We had the auction.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going to go over beforehand. You know, we recorded last time, and it was right before the auction.
There was Joe was greasy with anticipation.
Oh, I was greasy with anticipation. No, this was, in all honesty, so we're talking about the Games Plus auction. I talked about it on this podcast numerous times over the last 3 years.
It's kind of the definitive gaming auction.
Yeah, I mean, people, it's often imitated and never duplicated, the Games Plus auction. I talked with them this year, and I was just like, we need to set up a Twitch stream for this, because there were people who will sit there and watch this.
It's true.
And they're like, okay, but it might be bandwidth issues. I'm like, oh, come on, it's Twitch. It doesn't take up that much bandwidth.
Nah, it doesn't.
No. And that's what I was saying. It's like, it's, I just think the idea of people getting to see all of this shit just go out there would be insane. And plus, there'd be people out in like the gallery who'd be like taking phone calls from people watching Twitch at home, i.e. Steve. Joe, you need to, I don't know why I put the phone up to my head if you heard the thump. Because
they needed the visual aid.
Yeah. Joe, you
that's
you,
the one. Get
need,
it.
Yeah, give me that. But this was, I went to two of the.
I'm going to try and not miss it next year.
Yeah. Well, not next year. It'd be in the spring.
Well, the spring one, I don't want to miss the next fall. No, it'll be next year in spring.
Well, yeah,
because there's the spring and the fall.
Right.
The fall one I always found was weaker. I want the spring one. I want the one because the spring is when everyone's getting their shit and they're like, you know, Christmas happened and they're like, well, Nana bought me a rhino and I don't play Space Marines, so I gotta get rid of this. But it says Warhammer on it. How come you don't like it, Billy?
Because it's not Eldar, Grandma. It's not Eldar.
Do these look like elves? No, they're big, meaty, buff Space Marine men.
These are only good for one thing, and that's masturbating too.
And they're toughness 4.
Toughness 4? That's stronger than average.
How did you know that, Nana?
I used to read White Dwarf back in the day when it had real articles.
I read it on the shitter when Rogue Trader was the game.
I used to read it while smoking on the toilet. I'm Italian.
Yeah. So I went to 4 out of the.
So I'm gonna hit the. I want to hit the spring one. Like we'll probably be like if we go to the fall one and Twitch stream, that's cool. But like the one I want to hit with the cashola is 1 year from now. I want to hit the spring one in a year.
Yeah. The I want
to just destroy everyone and get all of the Lord of the Rings models.
I went to 2 of the 4 days of the auction. It's card games and collectible mini games. So like
Hero games.
Hero Clicks, yeah, all
just
that
collectible
stuff.
Games. I'm sure Dice Masters would fall in there.
Dice Masters.
So any collectible game,
yeah,
that's randomized packs.
Any of the pre-painted figures that come in like a blind pack.
Randomized packs, right.
Yeah. That's the one day. Then the next day is
RPGs?
No, the next day is historical and family board game night. Mm. And that's where I picked up this little beauty.
Historical and family board
game. Well, I mean, it's like a thousand different types of like, you know, all the different reskins of, like, classic board games.
Right.
Like Monopoly,
I actually haven't seen how much I made.
Oh, no, not yet. I think today was the day that they, or maybe it was last Thursday.
Yeah, no, but they don't email you your total.
Yeah.
You have to see when you go there. Yeah. So
call them up and ask if you know your number.
I'll be going next weekend.
Yeah. So I picked up this little beauty on the board game day, which is 221B Baker Street detective game Sherlock Holmes The Time Machine.
That is the Jules Verne time machine, everyone.
I know, but it says on there Sherlock Holmes The Time Machine.
Well, yeah, I wasn't arguing that.
Yeah, it's definitely Jules Verne.
Like, you see it, it's from the fucking movie. Like, that's exactly what the time machine looks like.
Yeah, I paid $10 for it. I was like, oh, sweet. Because I wanted to pick up one of the games I was actually looking to pick up was the classic 221B Baker Street game because I hear great things about it. I've heard it's pretty fun to play. Especially party-wise. But this one, it's got, like, it has, like, this crazy, like, Doctor Who-ish type steampunky map. And I guess you go around, like, solving clues in a book to, like, and you get points based off how few clues it takes you to do it. It's pretty interesting. You get, like, it's case reports and all the fun stuff. Someone drew, like, a llama on the back of this, on the back of your clue thing. The
playing tokens are very strange. Oh, man. You got doodles.
I got doodles.
There's a really shitty-looking dog.
And I got a Halloween pencil.
You know what? I wonder. You're not going to know until I... Oh, and a hidden Mickey.
And a hidden Mickey.
You won't know until you've played the game, but perhaps this is someone trying to do clues.
It could be. The llama is a clue, Steve.
Or this letter code. It looks like some sort of...
Dude, it's a Murado Black. This is a classy pencil right here. Yeah, someone dropped the ball.
Left that pencil in this board game.
Especially the classic Halloween
pumpkin and bat pencil. Nice. Yeah. But the eraser's gone.
No.
See, now this is an interesting conundrum, and perhaps the listeners can shed some light on this for me. So this pencil is barely sharpened. Like, the majority of this pencil remains. Yet the eraser is pretty much fucking gone.
Eraser!
Why does that happen?
I don't know. Yeah, these tokens are weird.
They have to use the eraser because they sharpen their pencil like shit.
Perhaps that's it. They did sharpen it like crap. It is very blunt looking.
I think this is like supposed to be like a lantern. This is a pipe.
The pawns are terrible.
Yeah.
I will say that.
There's a little time machine, though.
There is a little time machine.
Little 15-millimeter time machine.
It is definitely the best pawn they have amongst them. It is the time machine from the film.
Yeah. And you can travel back in time and go fight Jack
back
the Ripper.
Back in time. Actually, the film where he travels back in time and fights Jack the Ripper, I believe, is Time After Time.
Yeah.
And that's a great movie.
Well, yeah, it was filmed in... where was it? It was filmed up in the place where you can't bring cars. Up on that island. Something Mac? Winnemac? Or Merrimack? Something like that. One of those islands.
The Merrimack? McNamara?
No, where you can get, like, fudge made.
Mackinac?
There you go. Mackinac Island.
Mackinac.
It was filmed
fudge.
Up there, yeah. Time After Time, with pre-wheelchair Christopher Reeves. Post-Superman, pre-wheelchair Christopher Reeves. Not one of my favorite movies, but it's okay.
I liked it. Yeah. I liked Time After Time.
Time
but I watched it when I was time. When I was young. I really liked it, and I liked that and Time Bandits a lot.
What was it? Is it Hassle Free? A miniature company just released, like, 28-millimeter dwarves from
Time bandits,
and they look phenomenal.
That's humorous.
Phenomenal.
I like it.
I was hanging out with Timmy Lyson. I guess they sent him a pack, and they were really cool looking.
Nice.
Of course, because people send him free shit all the time.
Well, yeah, they want him to paint it and put pictures online.
Yeah, exactly.
He makes poopy models look good.
He does.
So they make good models look great.
Yeah. The new thing that everyone's doing now is everyone is
doing... Sports ball game?
No. Everyone is making versions of the Vikings from the TV show Vikings. That's like the new fucking thing.
I've never seen an episode.
It's pretty good.
Everyone jizzes all over each other about it. But you know, the whole like Vikings thing, like I try and stay away from Vikings, and I don't tell anyone I'm interested in Vikings in any way, because
It's very neo-Nazi. Yeah. It's creepy, trust me. Because I was like, I was, you know, I'm getting a tattoo, and I was like looking at different designs.
You were going to get a Viking tattoo?
Well, one of the things I was looking at, I was like, oh, I kind of like this Odin's Raven I'd like to get. And then I was like looking up.
Why don't you just get an 88 tattoo?
Yeah, exactly. And then I typed it into the computer, and I was like, oh, let's see like some cool designs. Maybe I can ape one of them. And I was like, oh.
This is a terrible idea. Just get a douchey tribal tattoo instead.
Get a tattoo of Guy Fieri. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, you could just get a Viking tattooed. That'd be pretty cool.
Just a tattoo of a Viking.
Just a fucking Viking. Like, yeah. That'd be sweet. There was a dude at the gym at Lifetime who had a D&D back piece that was done in the like 70s Gygax style art of a barbarian fighting a beholder in a dungeon. It was the fucking cool. Like, I wanted to be like, dude, that's so fucking, like, I wanted to harass this man, but like, he was really large and intimidating and frequently naked, and I thought it would be kind of weird for me to be like, hey,
sweet tat,
I was checking out your body, can I get a real close look at your tat? That's a
nice ink.
Yeah, see, I didn't. If I had my own tattoos, I could have went for that.
Because
I could be like, nice ink, and then as I did it, I would lean forward, displaying my beholder tattoo,
or your tattoo of your Japanese body pillow,
or my knoll. I wouldn't get a Japanese body pillow. Come on now.
Your knoll.
Let's get it. Yeah, my knoll, dude. I'm gonna go. There's a great Tony Dieter-Lizzi knoll picture of a knoll like kind of like standing like a. Lackadaisically with a axe over his shoulder, and he's like chewing on a thing of wheat, and I'm like, that knoll is awesome.
Yeah,
that's the kind of knoll I'm into.
I'm gonna get a rust monster right on my left buttocks.
Hey, that's a good place for it.
And I'll get a bullet on the right.
You know what you should do? You should get one coming out from inside the cheek.
Oh, now you're cooking with gas. See. Yeah,
just saying.
Yes. So that was a family. I didn't go to the RPG day. I had family obligations. I really wanted to go because I always like getting. And one of my new things that I'm collecting right now is the old Call of Cthulhu crap.
Speaking of that, I think they're on 7th edition of Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah.
Still coming out. People are still playing it.
I'm looking for, like, my personal collection now. I'm looking for old Chaosium Call of Cthulhu. I know it's rare, but that's just part of what I'm looking for. That I think it was like late 80s. Chaosium.
They mostly just did box sets, really.
No, there's a lot of great
supplements. The earliest stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You get some game science dice in there?
Yeah.
Did these come with it?
Yeah.
Nice. Some sucker left his game. These suckers left all this sweet swag in their boxes.
Sweet swag. Yeah.
Ooh, a dirigible source book for the 1920s.
This is incomplete because it's actually missing the core rules for Call of Cthulhu at the time. But I mean, those aren't really difficult to find. But it's got a sweet, sweet map in there.
Yeah, you get the grid in there.
Yeah, some grid paper. Someone left some graph paper in there.
Is this someone's actual handwriting? Jesus, that's neat. Look at their handwriting on the character sheet.
No, that can't.
That
be
is, something. It's pen. Look at, give it a close look.
Holy crap! I should submit this to penmanship porn.
You should.
Oh, that's neat.
That is a very, very nice penmanship. Basic Role Playing: An Introductory Guide by Greg Stafford and Lynn Willis.
God bless it. I love
this map's great.
I really love this.
You love the old crappy stuff.
The old Call of Cthulhu stuff. I've been looking through it because. Another local gaming store has a bunch of it, but for like ridiculously high prices, like prices I would never pay. And I've been looking through it though, and I'm just like, oh.
I mean, not like as someone who dabbles in collecting RPG stuff with the Lamentations and what, and
as someone who dabbles.
Because I don't have a swath of things I want, and there aren't that many Lamentations books out there, and there aren't that many Star Trek Decipher books out there. But when I was going more ham on the A&ED stuff before I dumped my collection, it was always more fun, like, for me, the collecting aspect, less than getting it. Like, the acquisition wasn't the the end game for me. It was always like the deal.
The
deal for me is like, it was like 80-20. Like the deal was like the best. Cause then you'd be like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's a temple of elemental evil, but I mean, it's really dinged up. And they're like, well, I'll throw in Tomb of Horrors. Like, well, okay, you know, now we're talking.
That's it's not necessarily the deal for me. I'm kind of like Pet B in that it's the hunt. Mm. I don't like buying it online.
I was saying, because it's so widely available.
Yeah, it's you got to find it. Like,
you want to find it manually?
Yeah, it's like I feel like I need to be the hunter on the Serengeti. Yeah,
it's always like, funny when Pet's like, it's like, I found this rare game by driving really far. And I was like, dude, I got it at that price on Amazon.
Right now. Yeah, I mean, I don't. But that's also a way for me to curb spending, especially on something where there's like a shit ton of supplements, like I do with D&D. I never buy D&D online because
you're going to fall into a hole.
Into a giganto hole. So what I like doing it is I like hunting. I like searching for it in different game stores or used bookstores or, you know, whatever. I'll drive in like a pretty big radius to go search out for stuff.
As far as Lake Titicaca.
I'm not going to drive down to South America.
I just want to say Titicaca.
There's narcos that are down there. They'll take me out. I'm not going to deal with that.
You could be in a Netflix show.
I could be on a Netflix show. Exactly. So I got this. My new thing I'm going to collect. The one that I'm looking for that I'm really excited for, because I believe this would be fantastic to play, is Madness on the Orient Express. Because A, I love Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express. And B, I would love to run a Cthulhu game that involves Murder on the Orient Express.
Cthulhu games are hard to run, man.
I know, but
they're hard.
Like, I want to try.
It's just like, it's, I don't know. Like, if you run it with a bunch of enthusiasts, it's boring.
Yeah.
Like, if everyone's into it, it's like not fun. Just because everyone's like, oh, like, and they know the tropes. So it's kind of like, you know, like, I don't go into the crypt.
Yeah.
I leave. And you're like, well, then I get
game over.
Yeah, I guess you guys win. You didn't die.
You go, you look
Grats.
At the crypt. So you turn around, and as you turn around, you see the crypt is in front of you again.
Yeah. Yeah. You're stuck. You must go forward. And then you just look at them and you just fucking go, choo choo.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, I mean, like, you can always just, you know, just, there's a lot of, participation you need to have in Call of Cthulhu, where people just need to be willing to like fall
play,
into it.
Yeah,
it's kind of.
I mean, that's what I usually do whenever I run an RPG game. Is I usually tell people, I go, "Look, this is a game. This is not real life. There are no winners. There are no losers.
There are winners and losers. If the characters all die, you
win.
if they survive your adventure, they win.
Well, or I could say the only way to win is to play.
Yes. There you go. Are you prepared in the night for a dragon strike? You need to get a
turtleneck. Yeah.
And just be in a completely dark room. So the only thing you can see is your face. Yes, that's what you need.
They just wheel in a old CRT TV and they put a video into the VCR and it's me reading the game.
Yes.
And I'm sitting behind the wall, like peeking out, like
you're looking.
All right.
Snapping pictures on your phone.
So the final day was the minis day, and that's the day I love. I go there. I was there for a long ass time today.
Oh, they go forever.
Yeah,
which is, I mean, but that not a complaint.
No, I mean, usually
I think for people who haven't seen it, and I think this is why like getting it on Twitch at least once would be cool, because like when people see how much shit they go through and how rapidly they do it, it's insane. Like when you sit and you're just like, minis are just flying. Like out there.
And I feel so bad for the guys at the store, mainly because it's like there's such shitty customers who go in there and put stuff up. I mean, these are shitty people. Like they'll put in their sheet, like they have this whole sheet, and they'll put in one blister of like my Gretchen that I've had since 1986. So I'm gonna put this in and only this.
Perfect example is I put in when I brought my stuff to them, like the dude was like ecstatic that I had followed the directions.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, yeah, I follow the directions every year. Like,
it's
not hard. But apparently, it's very difficult.
Because the people are so shitty. I mean, like, okay. So let me talk about the mini auction itself. This was the best mini auction I've seen in probably 5 years. And that includes both the spring and fall auctions. Just the amount of stuff that they had was unbelievable.
It's always a spring.
It was like rare shit that you don't.
That's when I got the Tyranids. It was a spring auction.
There was rare shit that, like, not everybody would like, but, I mean, stuff, like, that I'm interested in that I would buy, but stuff I'm like, oh,
Ooh.
Like, a guy brought in a Plano case, like three Plano cases filled with Cronopia stuff. And I was like, oh, man.
I'm surprised you resisted.
Oh, I did. I can't.
Because you have a problem. You have a serious problem.
I'd be like, I'm just like, I don't know. Plano case full of Cronopia sounds really good right now.
I just imagine you like sitting there like fucking biting your fingers, like not your fingernails, just your actual fingers.
And it was like, and there's like,
you're visibly aroused.
Visibly aroused. Like I just had my bitter card inserted into my penis, like just a little slit on the top. It was just holding the card up, and I'm like, ton of Lord of the Rings stuff, but that all went for extraordinary prices, as you know. I kept on texting him back and forth. I'm like, this is coming up, how much you want to spend on this? And it was like, he's like, you know. And I'm like, I'm not gonna go more than 35 on this. But man, there were blisters that went for 35 for Lord of the Rings.
That's the thing, like, and that's a fair price. They probably didn't even overpay, because what we were saying, when you were giving me prices, no one was getting a deal.
Yeah,
it seemed like everyone was getting like the market price, which is fine. Like, yeah, if that's what you want to pay. But it's like, if you're, for me, again, about the deal, if I'm getting the market price, I'll just get it on eBay.
Yeah.
Because eBay is the market price. So, like, most of the rare blisters are $35 on eBay. Well, some of the rare ones are $75.
Well, there was, so I'm bidding on this stuff for Steve. I'm bidding on a couple different blisters. I'm bidding on some boxes. I only managed to get him one box set. And then at done today, he's like, I already have that box set. I'm like, you dick. So,
hey, man, I got so much box sets, I can't keep track of them all.
So I'm bidding on all this stuff. And then this guy who's been outbidding me on like almost all of it, spending, he comes over, he's like, hey, I run the local Lord of the Rings game here. It's like, do you play? I'm like, well, I can't because you fucking bought everything.
Did you actually say that? Because that would be awesome.
I did. Yes. Well, I didn't say it like that. I was like, yeah, well, I really can't because you bought it all. And we're like, ha, ha, ha. I'm like, no, I'm buying this for a friend. And it's like, he has no interest in your games. He wants to play War of the Ring.
I have no interest in playing with you, sir.
I have no interest in any of
Well, I was interested until you bought me out of the game.
Yeah, exactly. No, there was.
That's a dick move. Like, to outbuy someone you know is interested in everything and then walk over and be like, so do you play? Yeah. Just fucked your mouth.
Well, that would be better, though, if he was like, so do you play this game? Guess not, because I bought it all.
Yeah, well, I guess there's that, too.
Yeah, and I fucked your mother. Yeah. You know, like, you could do that. That would be, I would be like, bravo, sir. Yeah.
Bravo. You'd give him the Orson Welles.
Exactly. I'd be like, I'm proud of you. Whatever, you've graduated. I don't even know you.
I don't even know you, and you're amazing.
Yeah, there was a bunch of just like cool spaceship games and like just old shit. Not a ton of
Clan War.
Well, no, there was Clan War there.
Was it your Clan War?
No, it was not my Clan War.
Do you still have your Clan War?
I have all my Clan War. I love my Clan War. Don't talk bad about my Clan War.
You fucking scratching yourself. I need more Clan War.
Need more Clan War. They didn't have a ton of the stuff I was looking for. I was looking for, you know, World War II stuff for Bolt Action or 10mm stuff for War Master.
Here's the question. Did they put the X-Wing miniatures with that stuff or with the collectible?
They put it with the minigame stuff.
All right.
Yeah. I agree with that because
it's non-collectible.
It's non-collectible. I believe anything that you buy in a blind bag would be considered collectible.
Right on.
Or in a box.
Yeah. I was wondering. Yeah. I'm always a little interested to be like, where exactly do you classify those?
Well,
because, I mean, they're listed like on ICV2 and stuff. Like, they're listed as non-collectible miniatures game, which is a completely separate sales category than the blind boxes.
Yeah. Well, and it becomes a little harder for like certain board games. Like, where do you put Armada?
I mean, Armada's as much of a miniatures game as X-Wing is.
Exactly. But the other thing is that on RPG Day, that's where they also do like sci-fi fantasy board games. Do you put that with sci-fi fantasy board game?
I think it goes with miniatures. I think Imperial Assault goes with sci-fi fantasy board game because that game is sold as a board game, not as a miniatures game.
And that game is also an assault on all your senses.
I mean, I think it's bad.
Star Wars Descent.
I call it Imperial Assault.
I just call it Assault.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Same difference.
Same difference.
Actually, ass salt makes more sense because it's salt coming from your ass.
Because salty asses.
Salty asses.
Everyone playing that game is a salty ass. But the greatest thing at all about this auction was there was no fucking reseller, Steve. One guy came a little late and he seemed to be buying a lot. I was like, this guy could be a reseller. I'm not 100% sure.
Well, I mean, the thing about reselling is like if you're going there to resell, you have to be getting it at a deal. So if I was going there with the intention of reselling a bunch of Lord of the Rings stuff, I wouldn't have bought anything because they were buying it at market value, which means as a reseller, there's no point.
Yeah.
Like, I can buy this for $35 and sell it for $35 on eBay.
Yeah, there was a decent amount of fantasy stuff there. Yeah, the normal amount of 40K. I put up this picture on the Facebook page of the most perfectly put together Space Marine Razorback or Predator, whatever the tanky thing is. It was just like so perfectly put together. I was just in awe. Like, there were people literally like looking at it like, oh, whoever did this did a really good job. And it was like the old like Rogue Trader one with all the dingle hoppers still attached to it. So those little sidebars that you put on the top.
Like, how is this still alive?
Oh, I know. It was just like, it was like seeing
those fucking railings that break the instant you take them out of your army transport.
Yeah. It was like seeing a unicorn in the wild, Steve. It was just like,
well, you know, whoever bought that, as soon as they picked it up and put it in their bag, it just shattered. You know what? No, it didn't shatter. It crumbled into dust.
I was so impressed with it that I had to take a picture. I'm like, I need to.
Maybe it was put together by Dan Delanois.
That's what I was assuming. It had to be put together by Dan Delanois. Me and Dan Delanois got into a rule shouting match the other night.
Nice. Yeah. In what? Butt action?
In butt action, yeah.
Of course he did.
Two rules lawyers going at it. He was technically right, but at the same...
Always fun to watch, yeah. Never fun to participate.
No, not at all. He was technically right, but for the wrong reasons, so...
But technically right is the best form of right. Right.
Well, it was...
He's got you there.
And the funny thing was it wasn't even a rule that applied to the game we were playing. It was a hypothetical scenario that we started yelling at each other.
Sounds
about.
Like the best time to have a very angry rules argument.
It didn't help that we were playing at, like... It was like around 9 o'clock when we were playing, and I had already been up since 4 o'clock that morning. So I was like exhausted and just
I was up to like midnight last night, and like I've been on the really early schedule, and like I was like, man, I'm really fucking tired. Like this is bad.
Yeah,
like I'm gonna be fucking tired all day tomorrow. And I sure, you know what? I was. I was like, fuck.
Yeah, you know
I was
what?
Like, I can't do this anymore.
No.
It's because I'm waking up earlier. I'm going to bed earlier, and I'm waking up earlier, and it's like creating this problem for me.
I could see that.
Yeah.
And then I didn't buy a ton because I wasn't really like super interested in, and like I didn't need anything. There were certain things that I wanted, and I held back.
You don't need any of
it. No, I do need it.
I need my
fix, man.
But see, you don't need it because you still have so many projects that are incomplete.
I know. I have a problem. I'm well aware of my problems.
I'm almost done with that. My Kings of Orman.
Kings of Or.
My Undeadmen.
Kings of Or.
I broke them all apart, and they're looking good now. So
yeah. So that's kind of my auction recap. It was seriously one of the best that I've ever seen. Just every game that you could possibly imagine, going for not super cheap, but not market value. I mean, you were getting a deal regardless. But there was the only thing I didn't really. the funny thing was that. Every time for the last 4 or 5 auctions, the same like display base has come up, and it's an ogre display base. It's got the maw. Remember the old 6th edition with the maw display base?
I think I've seen the exact display base you're talking about.
It has come up at auction at least 4 times, and maybe 5. But every time I see it, I'm just like, God damn it, some idiot's going to buy this fucking thing. And sure enough, someone did buy it, and I'm like, you idiots. It's cursed.
Oh, it'll be back.
It's cursed. This like awesome. the cursed Elysian Forge World army that used to go around in Games Workshop. Remember that? I owned it for a while and I sold it off because I was like, this thing's cursed.
I think Smelliot did wasn't Smelliot the progenitor of that?
I think he was, and then it went to
either he was the progenitor or he was the first buyer from the progenitor.
Yeah, something like that. And I think I bought it from Smelliot and sold it to someone else on top of that.
I remember that. Everyone touched that army. I almost bought that army.
God damn it. God damn
everyone
it.
Everyone wanted the Elysian drop troops. They were so cool.
They are so cool.
They're so cool.
That's actually one of Forge World's worst cast armies. In all, that casting is terrible. All right, so we're about the midpoint. So let's pop in some mailbag. Yeah,
we need to save the first one for the last question.
Okay. So we'll start off with Peter Capozzo. Hey, smoking a cigarette on the toilet here, Peter Capozzo. He asks, "Is Force of Will worth getting into?"
I would say pretty much no.
Ooh,
but it is cheap. So here's the thing. If you're depending on what you're looking for out of a CCG, if you're looking for a game that has very high resale value, like a return on your quote unquote investment, absolutely not. The singles market is so cheap for Force Wheel, you can build decks for almost nothing, which is a positive. Very player friendly as far as buying. The reason I say I wouldn't get super into it is because the best deck is determined very quickly and the metagame is very small. Like, at any point, there's usually only one deck that's really good. The newest set came out and it kind of brought out a couple more decks. So you might see some more diversity. And like, diversity is key when you're playing a card game, like, to have fun at a tournament. Because like, even if it's like if you're playing the best deck, it's still going to be a boring day if you play 15 rounds against the same deck. Like, 15 rounds with a mirror is fucking miserable. Like, imagine you stop up to play your miniatures game and you brought dwarves and you played dwarves all day.
That's like playing Bolt Action. Everyone plays fucking Germans, and it's the worst goddamn army in the game.
There you go. Everyone plays Germans.
It's a German. So basically,
I would say, like, look into it. It's cheap. It's not going to cost you a lot, but you're probably not going to be able to get a return on your money. Like, if that's a concern, the game is fun. It's a good game. Like, mechanically, it's just a ripoff of Magic, so it can't be that bad.
Instead of turning your card left, you turn your card right.
No, not that silly. I would say get a starter deck. They made new starter decks. They're all separate by color. They're all very good. They're playable. They're not like normally starter decks in card games are barely a deck. Like, it's barely playable because they give you like one of all the good cards and you're like trying to play and like the cards are all shit because card games are made for limited play. Like, commons and uncommons, cards that are bad are made for booster draft play. If you have a card game and you're not doing booster draft play, there should be no reason for just straight up bad cards. Like, there's no reason for them to exist other than limited play. And, like, there's very few of those in Force. Like, so playing a deck out of the starter box gives you a good idea how the game is. And you might like it, might not. There's a ton of people who play, like, there's still a huge community for it. So I would say maybe not no, but definitely not yes.
Aren't you going to a tournament on Saturday
middle. Card Fight is the tournament.
Oh, Card Fight.
Yeah.
Is that the one that you would recommend above Force Will?
Honestly, like, if you, like, it, you know what? The CCG market, there's a lot of CCGs out there, and it all...
Including My Little Pony, the CCG. And My Little Pony, the RPG, as done by Alessio Cavatori.
There, you know, it all depends on what you want out of your card game. Like, if you want a game that's very lackadaisical to update, Vanguard is the best one because Vanguard is broken down into so many small groups of decks. Like, if I'm playing the Nova Grapplers, which are like space robots, that's the deck I've chosen to play. Like, I don't need cards unless a Nova Grappler stuff comes out, and they come out, you know, very infrequently with specific support. So there's sets that release all the time, but your deck might not get its specific support for a while. So that's what I really like about. I think that's actually a huge plus for the game because you can play constantly with the deck you have. You know, tune it with the cards that are available, and then new stuff will come out. You can add that and make it better. It feels more like miniatures game style. Like, you know, when you like you built your, you know.
But does it have an anime sidekick with weird hair?
It does.
Oh, okay. Well, then
yeah, he's got, his hair looks like a cinnamon roll. So,
oh, nice.
They actually call him Cinnamon Bunhead in the show.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Does he have a cool thing on his arm with cards attached to it?
No, that's Yu-Gi-Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, and they also ride motorcycles and play card games on their motorcycles too.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, you know, like,
does
if you're
he take you to the Shadow Zone?
And also the most important thing, just like anything else, it's all about playgroup. Like, is there a Force of Will community near you? If no, then you should definitely not play Force of Will. Is there a Card Fight community near you? No, then you should definitely not play Card Fight. Wait to play Card Fight online. Or
if you're playing CCGs, my recommendation is that you play Magic and then you play what other game you think is interesting.
Yeah, that's a good call.
So it's like miniatures games. You have your 40K army.
Yep.
And you have another one for whatever game interests you.
Yes. Yeah. It's like, it's all about community. So, like, yeah. If you are in a small
town. And usually
town,
your community is going to be miserable. So.
Yeah. I mean, card game miserable is a different tier of miniatures miserable. They're all miserable.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, there's different degrees. Yeah. I have not encountered a shouting match personally yet in a card game.
Yeah.
Because, again, there's judges, which is the thing that still boggles my mind about miniatures games. Like, there should never be need for that because you should, like, have a judge.
Judge!
Yeah, you call a fucking judge, they come over and they go, this is how it's done.
Well, actually, there should always be a camera on the table so
and
that
let
you
the
can
internet do it.
So you could you could review the moves.
Oh.
So like an instant replay. It's like, oh, you move from front to back. You move from front to back right there, and it's a penalty. This is gonna be a red card. You pull out the, or yellow. I don't know. How does soccer work?
I don't know.
You get cards.
I believe it's called football, actually.
Football?
Football.
I love football with the cheerleaders and the goalposts.
Not football. Football.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's football.
Fruit by the foot.
Throwing the old pigskin around, you know. Sitting with your dad.
It doesn't work
because
you don't like football.
I don't like football.
It doesn't work. Like, you don't like sports. You can't disparage a sport. You don't like any sport.
I don't. I like hockey.
Hockey's okay. I mean, I liked hockey a lot more in the 90s when they used to punch the shit out of each other.
Yeah, well, they've been getting back to that. So, all right.
So, yes, I would say middle. The art's cool. The art's very cool. And the game's fun. So,
I would say there's nothing.
I'd say try it.
Yeah. From everything you're saying, it's cheap and it's a fun game to play. Play it.
That's the one thing that's nice. It's like the most expensive card in the game is $25.
And at max $5. Yeah,
that's the most expensive card in the game. Fucking Pokemon CCG has a $50 card.
Oh, so my daughter was watching TV a couple days ago, and I guess some Pokemon commercial came out with like these stuffed Pokemon that people have now. And she's like, "What's that?" And I'm like, "Oh, that's Pokemon." She goes, "What's a Pokemon?" I go, I don't know.
That way leads to madness.
I was just like, "I don't know, something stupid." And she goes, "Yeah."
You're gonna get wrecked.
I know. Next one, Brett Miles. How did the Star Trek murder mystery go? We actually didn't end up playing. So C2E2 was this weekend for those in the Chicagoland community, Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo. Did you end up going?
Fuck no.
Okay. Because I know you were trying to get tickets.
Not for me. Okay. I'm on the fuck C2E2 bandwagon. Like after last year, I'm just like.
I had a blast. It was great. Fucking Pat. God damn it, Pat. Waited in line for like 2 hours to get Supergirl's autograph for someone else. Like, God bless that boy. God bless that boy. But it was overall great. Bought a lot of stuff. I bought, I can show you what I bought.
This better be an animal dildo.
I don't think I showed this to you.
Actually, I don't think they sell it. I don't think they let the animal dildo guy there anymore.
I bought this from the Weta Workshop booth.
Ooh, nice.
It's a replica of the no admittance except on party business
you
sign.
You can get that from their website.
I know, but I mean, it was right there, so I was just able to buy it right there. They also had all of like the key to Erebor, which I was very close to buying.
The key to Erebor is fucking sick.
Yeah, I was just like, there's so much other stuff I want to buy. I don't really... can I buy Keeley? Can I buy Keeley and Feely? They had all of like the replica weapons because they were there and out in force for.
But did they have a life-size Sauron?
No, but oh god, some of the fucking maquettes that they had
they're insane.
Were gorgeous. They had the Balrog maquette.
Yeah, I can't go into that. I have to. The closest I'm gonna do is I'm gonna do Lord of the Rings weaponry, but beyond that, like no.
They were there for.
There's too much quality merchandise out there to get into that collection.
There was a. They were there for Warcraft, the Warcraft movie, because I guess they did all the props and everything. They had the full suits of armor, and I'm just like, you know what? I've been out of Warcraft for a very long time, but every time I see this, I'm like, I just kind of want to boot it up, bring up my old character.
You won't remember how to play.
It's probably a completely different game by now. But my old halfling.
It isn't. It's really
my old halfling warlock, Dirty Diana. Bring her back up. With her little imp friends.
Have I done anything with my box Kingdom Death Monster stuff? Well, an additional box showed up with the add-on product.
Yeah.
I moved it from the right side of the left side of my closet to the right side of the closet.
Good old Steve.
And then I moved it from the right side of the closet back to the left side.
I didn't answer the question about the Star Trek Murder Mystery game. So we were going. My friends were going to get a hotel room, and I had already explained too much to my chagrin about why I hate the hotel room. But we were going to play there. But then one of my friends, got sick, and the other guy was like, "Well, we're still going to have the hotel room." So I'm like, "Okay." And then he was like, "You know what? We're not going to have the hotel room. I'm going to cancel." Because it turns out that the only reason he wanted the hotel room was so that he could stash his 501st Stormtrooper gear up there.
That's awesome.
Because he had to go work the booth. So, of course, when he went down to the 501st booth, we went over there in force and just asked the most asinine questions on the planet. Like, where's your garrison located? Where do you keep your how do you keep your armor so white?
What do you think about Kylo Ren?
Would you support Kylo Ren?
Does he have an 8-pack? Is he shredded?
I think he's shredded. And so we didn't actually get to play the Star Trek game. But the Star Trek game. And he's like, we needed a cassette player and I didn't have one. So, yep.
That's awesome.
As I pointed out on the podcast.
So I believe it went as well as I anticipated.
Yep.
An unmitigated disaster.
Yeah. But I did have a very, very great zombie game planned out that we're going to eventually play based on the zombie game from Fantasy Flight, based in the con, using the con floor maps.
There's a comic of that. I think it's some fucking pun name, but it's about a zombie outbreak that happens at a gaming convention, yeah, or a comic convention.
There's actually a really good novel called Red... No, it's not Red Shirts. It's basically...
Red Dead Redemption?
Sweet no. game. But it's about a zombie outbreak at a Star Trek convention. Mm. It's pretty fun. If I could remember the name, I'll let you guys know. But it's a pretty good book. It's fairly Mary Sue, but I enjoyed it. I guess Mary Sue wouldn't be the proper word because
Gary Stu if it's a guy.
No, because Mary Sue is generally when you put your own character into
a self-insert, and they're always overpowered.
Yeah, but in an established universe, because this isn't an established universe.
No, it doesn't. No, if it's a self-insert, you don't have to apply to an established universe. The dude, the Dresden Files guy, that's a self-insert. He's a total Gary Stu, like absolutely.
I don't know. I tend to believe that a Mary Sue character is a character that you put into an established brand. So like, if you created a character and you put them into the Twilight universe, that would be a Mary Sue character.
I mean, the Twilight universe was fucking Harry Potter fan fiction. So no, every character in
Twilight
there
was Buffy fan fiction.
Pretty sure it was Harry Potter fan fiction. No, Buffy. I think it was Draco. I mean, I'm going to have to look it up later, but I'm pretty sure it was a Draco Malfoy thing, or was it another? No, I think though.
No, dude, total Buffy. It was a Buffy fanfic.
It's miserable and, either way.
Yeah, and Buffy was pretty much just Lestat fan fiction. So okay,
not the movie though. The movie was great.
What, the Vampire Lestat?
No, the Buffy movie with Paul Rubens.
Okay, Raz has got a good old Raz has got a couple.
He's got a barrage.
A barrage. Ask the first one.
How do you guys feel about the GW aftermarket products, like the 40K cars, cult limos, squats, and so on?
I'm not quite 100% sure what question is he asking about, like...
How do we feel about it? Do we approve? Do we disapprove? But I think they're great.
But I mean, like, is he talking like a third party?
Yeah, the aftermarket product. So, like, I'm guessing because there was recently a Gene Steeler cult limo done by some company.
Oh.
And it looks really nice. It looks really nice. And it looks like the illustration of the old limo that they never really did a good model for. That is exactly what it looks like. It looks really great. And I think that's probably the thing that actually drove this specific question, because he actually has the cult limo specifically listed.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I think that's awesome that there's a market there for people to do. And I believe they're pretty safe from GW going after them, because there's no models that they're...
Yeah, and as we've seen, GW has lost case after case after case.
Right, yeah, because there's just so many things. There's only so much stuff you can do with your IP, and copywriting a space limo is not one of those.
No. I know. I'm generally cool with third-party stuff.
Yeah, I like it.
I mean, I tend to think that a lot of third-party stuff is...
subpar quality.
Yeah, I mean...
But a lot of it's good.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen, like, some great stuff, especially out of Poland. Poland usually has, for some odd reason... There's like a
I think that might be the unreleased miniatures guy. I was about to say there's a dude who's on the Lord of the Rings collectors miniatures thing, and the company name is Unreleased Miniatures, and all he does is miniatures of characters from the Lord of the Rings movies, Hobbit movies that weren't done in GW models.
Oh yeah,
they look fucking phenomenal. They're like,
is he from Poland?
I don't know. It's a foreign language, and I don't know what the fuck it is. It looks Slavic.
Hey, I'm Polish.
No, it looks Slavic, but his models are great. They look exactly like look like the Perry stuff. Like, they look phenomenal.
You should ask him if he plays FIFA on a PS2.
The if he does, yes. But I mean, that's all of Europe.
That's all Eastern Europe.
Oh, okay. Eastern Promises with Viggo Mortensen.
It's like when you go there into their like concrete gray block apartments and everyone's smoking
and
playing
block,
FIFA.
BLOQ.
What?
Block.
But yes, I do like the third party stuff. Sometimes it's subpar quality, and oftentimes it's more expensive than actual GW stuff, but you know, whatever. What cons or trade shows do you guys plan to attend this year? Already did C2E2, gonna be doing Adepticon next weekend. Then I'm gonna do Little Wars the weekend, a couple weekends after that. That's not even a real convention. That's just I go there and just like try to avoid, you know, historical gamers while I go and, you know,
go to the historical gaming convention and try and avoid historical gamers.
Yeah. Trying to get a deal. It's good.
You might as well just play Toho if you're going to try to get Bullet Hell.
I've gotten so many good deals there, though, on board games and other shit like that. I kind of feel like Homer Simpson, like when he's getting a donut, wiggling my fingers like, ooh, don't mind if I do. And I find some good stuff there. And then, of course, Wizard World I'll probably end up going to. And I'm probably going to go to Gen Con this year, depending on when my next child is born. Because if my next child is born at the end of August, it's going to be cutting it close. So
I'm still on the Gen Con boycott. Also, I plan on going to no conventions this year other than the Chicago Star Trek convention, the one by Creation. So we'll see. Don't you be sweet. But other than that,
when's the Star Trek convention?
It's like almost 2017.
Okay. So it's far like end off. Of the year. Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, I'd totally go to a Star Trek convention.
Well, if you want to go, you better get tickets. They're selling out fast.
Where's it at?
Chicago.
Rosemont?
I have no idea.
No idea.
I snap bought the tickets. I didn't pay attention to anything else.
Yeah, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, so I'm going to probably end up going to Gen Con, probably just doing a day trip down there. Go during the day, do some shopping, then get the hell out. Get the hell out before the sun goes
down. Honestly, I know it's like, and I know it's all sacrilegious, but I like the last time I went to Gen Con, like I was kind of like, eh.
But that's the way you feel about most conventions.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's because like,
you just really don't like leaving your hobbit hole.
It's kind of true. But a lot of times, like, I have an expectation, and that expectation is just never met. It's always something different. Like the last year at Gen Con, I wanted to see previews of some like really good upcoming stuff. And there was like dick and all. Like all it was early releases. It was like you can buy this game already, and I'm like, oh.
Fantasy Flight usually does some good.
Yeah, Fantasy Flight released X-Wing. they were selling X-Wing. I was saying, but like, I want to see like the. I mean, also it was Star Wars, so I didn't give a fuck about it.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, Star Wars, Star Wars muffin. And then like the older stuff is like always cool to find, but like everyone's the booth prices are so high. It's like not even worth it. It's like, oh yeah, cool. Like you got a complete copy of Dragon Strike for $100. Okay, like buy.
I got mine for $5.
Yeah, buy
at Little Wars, mind you. Okay, we all know that 6th edition is one of the best block army games that has been put out. If you were in charge of bringing this rule set back out, what would the subject or genre you would pick if you could not use the Warhammer setting?
If I were in charge of bringing 6th edition back out, the first thing I would do is shoot myself. No, I kid. I mean, there's no genre you can do other than block fantasy game.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you could do medieval. Yeah, I mean, historical.
I would totally. If I had 6th edition rules set back, I would probably just want to use the Lord of the Rings IP.
Yeah, and in that case, I'd just rather do War of the Ring.
Yeah, I mean, it's based off the Warmaster rules, which were a far superior set. And that's the one part where I would disagree with you. 6th edition is the best block army game designed for 28 mil.
He does say one of the best.
One of the best.
I wouldn't say the best.
I think Steve and I are pretty. Warmaster is I technically think Warmaster Ancients is better, but.
Warmaster Ancients is better, definitively, because Warmaster Ancients is this. Like,
everything's norm.
Fuck, what's his name?
Rick Priestley?
Rick Priestley, thank you, I couldn't fucking remember. Rick Priestley specifically said that Warmaster Ancients is basically Warmaster 2nd Edition. He's like, it's the improved version of the game. He's like, there's actually a group that that did a Warmaster Fantasy plug-in to Warmaster Ancients because the rules that were cleaned up in Warmaster Ancients and made the game a better game, but they didn't have the compatible models. So there's actually an entire like fan community that put that together and put it into that game.
Let me just put it to you this way, too. It's like Warmaster Ancients, everything's normed based on the human, so everything is pretty similar. Right. And all of, like, you could buy pretty much five blisters worth of figures, like in Warmaster blisters, five blisters worth of figures for like $20 online for like any company that makes.
Yeah, Callistra makes great stuff.
Callistra, Magister Militum, Old Glory 10.
The game feel of Warmaster is unparalleled. Like just the way it feels, like everything feels like you're trying to command an army and keep it together. So when you're playing the orcs and your fucking commanders keep failing their fucking leadership, and you're like, fuck no, go, and they're just like, right, boss, going the wrong way. Like that feels more like orcs, because then the war boss, his leadership's high. So when your boss gives an order, it's just like, fucking do it, and you're like, yep, he did it.
All right, last one from Raza. What is the oldest rule book and source book you have? What is the oddest rule book source book you have? You get rid of your shit really quickly.
Yeah, my oldest stuff is gone. Like, the oldest rule book I had would have been my original copy of Dungeons & Dragons.
That's
the oldest I would have from the 70s.
And that's pretty much what I would have had, too. What I have is Dungeons & Dragons, because before that, RPGs didn't really exist.
It didn't exist. It was Little Wars before that.
Yeah, and I have a copy of Little Wars, too, so I guess you consider that the oldest. But my book is from, like, 1994, so it's not really that.
Yeah, that's just straight up. Like, that's the oldest one I ever had, because it was, like, I had them, like, they were, and, like, yes, they're rare and kind of expensive, but mine were in fucking crappy condition.
I'm trying to think of what, like, weird books, like, I mean, I got a lot of
weird books. I sold those to
books.
Loyal Knight in Wisconsin.
Yeah. I have a lot of weird fucking
Noble
books.
Knight. I always call him Loyal Knight or Noble
it's
Knight.
It's Noble Knight.
Noble Knight, yeah. He's a good stuff. If you're ever trying to, unload, a whole bunch of old board slash card slash minis game stuff, Noble Knight will give you a good price, and he'll buy it 24/7 or all year round.
365 this year.
The oddest rule book I have, I'm going to go with content, and that's Carcosa.
Ooh.
From Lamentations of the Flame Princess.
Yeah, we've talked about that one before.
Very strange. That's the oddest. It's a great book too.
I'm trying to think of, like, what would be the weirdest or oddest thing I own. I own a lot of weird crap, from Clan War to Babylon 5.
I had a Japanese RPG, which might have been weird.
I don't know. I don't read it. Probably the weirdest thing I own is I own a bunch of the very British Civil War books. And they're really kind of hard to get over in the U.S. because no one in the U.S. wants to play very British Civil War, because they're the fucking Brits and they, you know... Who the fuck cares? But it's just, it's like a really, really bizarre game full of, like, things that if you're not British, you have no idea what the fuck they're talking about throughout all of it. So that's why I would consider the oddest for us as Americans, the only real country in the world.
You're such a smarmy ponce. Yes. I nailed you with some sweet British insults.
You did. I just can't think. I'll
Do you want to know why Britain is superior? There's one reason.
What's that?
They call it a rubbish bin.
They do.
And rubbish is a great fucking word.
You've said that numerous times.
That would be rubbish.
I have
made me feel good.
I can't think of anything weird that I got. Okay. James, of course, James, our British listener, one of our British listeners.
The only British listener.
Yeah. According to him, he is.
It's true.
Everyone else is just...
They're from other countries.
They're just sucking on the teat of the queen. That's what he's saying.
And from other countries.
Yeah. If the Republicans and Democrats...
Like Andrew McCall, that guy's from not Britain.
Not Britain. If the Republicans and Democratic candidates were tabletop gamers, what games do you think they would play? Also, what are their campaign promises for fixing Age of Sigmar?
All right. Well, I'll take one Dem, one Republican. You take one Dem, and I'll give you Trump.
Okay, you give me Trump.
I'll take Cruz.
Okay,
I'll take Cruz and Sanders. You take Clinton and Trump.
Okay. All right.
So, if Cruz was a tabletop gamer, he would definitely play 40K. No question. Absolutely, he would be super into 40K, and he would be like the ultimate. Like he'd be super into the lore. Like, super into the background, like, really into Space Marines, really into the Empire. The Imperium of Man would be his, like, boner. But he would not be a fluffy bunny. He would be, like, the most munchkin-y, rules lawyer-y, like, shitlord possible. Like, he would drive people out of the store with, like, people would stop showing up to events because of how, like, how intense and douchey he is. Definitely 40K. Absolutely. Just 100%. Sanders would play, like... a bunch of really esoteric RPGs, and all of them would be like the formless ones that like don't have.
Okay, so if Sanders played 40K, what army would he play?
If Sanders played 40K, he'd play Tau.
You think he'd play Tau?
Not close. He'd play Tau.
Yeah, I think Sanders would be more like
for the greater good. He'd just be like, "That's the army. That's the army I want to play.
That's the army I want to play. I'm gonna play the Tau." No, actually, I think he'd be like. I, with your analogy, Cruz would be the guy who would be like, "I'm gonna play with the Space Marine army because this is the best army." I can't do a Cruz impression, so this is just what I'm saying. It's like, I'm just gonna play this army. This is gonna be the best army. I'm gonna min-max everything. I don't know what the metagame is, but I'm gonna have all plasma cannons because that's obviously the best choice.
He would be on top of that shit immediately.
Yeah, immediately. And then he's like, "This is the only way to play it. This is the maximum way that you could play this game. If you don't play it this way, you're not playing it correctly. Anyone who else who doesn't play it this way is..." And Bernie Sanders would be like, "I play the orcs. I only play the orcs. I've been playing the orcs since 1989. People can look at my record. They see that I played the orcs.
They see I've lost a lot. The orcs are not a good army.
They're not a good army, but I'm going to stick by them because I'm going to lose 99% of my games.
But again,
of the 99%, the top 1% of the games that I've lost, I've always come close to winning.
I would say, again, he wouldn't be a 40K player. He'd be playing, like, the weird esoteric freeform RPGs that don't have rules. They have, like, DM fiat. Like, one of those, there's just, like, there's one where you, like, bid to do your actions. It's very strange. I think that's what, that would be his, like the group communal RPGs where everyone has to cooperate to play. I think that would be his thing. So how about your candidates?
If it's Trump.
You have Trump and you have Clinton. Those are yours.
Okay. Trump.
And Kasich. Kasich is playing Magic the Gathering, not paying attention to the other ones.
Yeah. It's like, I'm flipping cards.
Yeah. No. He's showing up to the Magic tournament. He's going home to bang his wife.
No. Trump was definitely a Pathfinder player. Trump is the guy who comes into the Pathfinder game. He's like, all right, this is what we're going to play. We're going to play Pathfinder Day. He pulls out his box full of Pathfinder paraphernalia for his character, which is the most maxed out, like, wizard knight. Like, it's with some cross, you know, I didn't even roll this character. I had someone roll it for me. You know, it's like, you can't have these stats. It's like,
the last DM I had, he let me do it. He allowed it.
And he's got a stack of feet cards. He's got all of his action cards just like maxed it.
I got feats. I got the best feats.
I bought this character online. This is how it's going to go. It's the best character money can buy. I know how to play this game. I listened to the
last DM I had was a clown. He was an idiot. Didn't know what he was doing.
Exactly. That would be him. He'd be that guy, and who ruins the game for everyone else because he bought his character.
Right.
And then Hillary would be like, I like Dungeons and Dragons, and everyone would be like, boo. And she'd be like, I like Pathfinder.
Boo. I've always liked Dungeons and Dragons. Boo. That's good. Hillary would just be bouncing between all the games.
Yeah, whatever. It's like, I like Magic the Gathering. Boo. We're still voting for you, but boo.
Shadowrun. All right, that's fair. And campaign
and then
promises.
Bill goes, I like any game that's got boobies. What game you got over there?
Vote for my wife so I can bang more interns. Hey.
It's like, I like that cat lady in the Monster Manual. You seen that cat lady? She's got fur titties.
She does. Launched me into a whole different world of perversion. Campaign promises for fixing Age of Sigmar. I'll do the same thing. Cruz would eliminate all non-humans from the game.
Yes.
And Sanders would change the stat lines to all be equal.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. That's how Sanders would fix it. Everything would be completely equal.
Yeah, everything would actually be the same.
Yeah.
Nothing different. Everything is the same.
And basically what Trump would do is he would say, like, well, whoever spent the most amount of money should win. So
he actually would just make Age of Sigmar.
Damn you for stepping on my fucking joke.
Yay, I did it.
And Clinton would be like, I think we should go back to 6th edition. Boo!
5th edition was better.
No, it wasn't.
Doesn't matter.
No, that's what she said. She'd be like, 6th edition, I think we should go back to 6th edition. Boo! And then one guy's like, I think we should go back to 5th. And then the other guy's like, No.
Boo. They boo that guy.
Yeah, they boo that guy.
Good stuff.
Thank you for stepping on my joke, you asshole.
I did it. I totally stole it from you. You can never have it back.
No, never going to have it back.
Daniel Viswancade, giving you both older hands in the industry slash hobby, what do you think there is better in general? Which do you think is better in general company-run tournament systems? Oh, okay. It's a long run-on sentence, so I'm just, like, reading it.
Yeah, he's saying, is it better to have a tournament run by a company or run by fans?
Yeah, Corvus Belli Infinity Tournament System versus community-led ones. I'm going to go and say I think companies should run their own tournaments.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, not close. Community tournament things are always miserable.
Well, you never let a community run your tournament they think they know how your game should be. And they will add in rules. They will add in like what they think should be. And it's awful.
If your game requires soft scores to function, you need to run tournaments with soft scores. If it doesn't require soft scores to function, that's the thing. Like, people will try to add in stuff left and right. Do not let the community run the tournament. The only time it's acceptable to run a tournament is if you never had a tournament system, if you just never had one, and a group, because people will always try and make one, which is fine, and that's a different thing. It's different from you having a tournament system, abandoning it, and then just laying, well, let the players do it. That's a horrible idea. Well, yeah. And how many grand tournaments are there? How many people still go to Games Workshop tournaments? There's like two. There's the big one in Vegas.
And then there's Adepticon.
Like, that's it. And like, those are, they're fine. but they're not doing anything different. They're literally running
grand tournaments.
Grand tournaments, or like the exact same that they've been for forever. Yeah. And workshops the only ones you can really get away with that for, because their tournament system is done. Like, it's complete. There's nothing more to do.
No. And like, some of the best tournaments, like Privateer Press's tournament system, is fantastic.
Yeah.
But that's why it's also like kind of miserable. Because, yep. But it's probably way better than anything
well,
that
a we were talking about run. It yesterday. Is the there's a thing that Privateer Press has, which is strength of schedule, which is the standard for Swiss scoring in card games and in Privateer. It's the only miniatures game that does it, to my knowledge. And the way it works is, if I win my game against you, and then you go on to win your other two games or whatever, you count really well for my tiebreakers because you did good, and you're the only person I beat was you. Or the only person you lost to was me. And then, on the other hand, if I play you and crush you and you lose to the next two guys, your tiebreakers are worth nothing to me because it means you were bad. Yeah. So, at the end of the day, there's only so many rounds and you have standings based on what your records are. And there's going to be like four guys, say, who are all undefeated. How do you determine who's the winner of that? Well, you look at their strength of schedule and be like, well, the dude who's fourth actually has a better tiebreaker. Because
but that has nothing to do with like company versus they, any game can well,
but
do
that's,
that.
But that's they can't actually, because that's part of their scoring system, and there's no soft scores.
Yeah, but I'm like, if Games Workshop wanted it, well, if a 40K tournament wanted to use that system, they could.
But they can't, because there's not enough time to run
which
that.
Which is true.
For that.
Yeah.
So, like, if a fan base tried to implement it, they would need to do a whole bunch of other things. And soft scores are critical for those games because of the fact that they have degrees of victory. And the only reason you can do that with, because the mechanic, I mean, it's like a, that's the thing. It's a hand-in-hand part of your product. The way a tournament is run is going to be part of how your game functions. War Machine and Hordes, you win or you lose. End of story. Yeah. With Kings of War and 40K and Fantasy and like almost every other miniatures game, there's always like, well, you won, or you really won, or you really, really won, or you totally crushed them. And they're like, there's a huge margin of loss or victory. And like, that's part and parcel with like how they run their tournaments. And that's why soft scores exist, because if you do like pretty well, let's say you do like a 4 out of 5, but you crush your soft scores, you'll win the tournament.
Yeah.
And if you win all of your games, you do 5 out of 5, and your soft scores are bad, you will not win the tournament.
Yeah. I mean, and that's not to say that all company-led tournaments are great, because I could tell you Warlord Games runs a tournament that they usually have, like, stupid fucking rules in or terrible tables. And I love Warlord. I love Bolt Action so much. I love playing that fucking game. But I hate the way they run that shit.
I like that, because it means that something you really like is ruined
but then you
by the very company that makes it.
But then you could look at Saga, which I think is Tomahawk puts out Saga, or Gripping Beast puts out
Gripping
Saga.
Gripping Beast. Which is a great name for anything.
Their tournament always looks fantastic. Like, I'm always so jealous of seeing the people playing Saga. I'm just like, oh, that looks like so much fun. They're drinking out of horns, and they're wearing, like, Viking helmets, and they have the Viking tail. Oh. But no, they always have, like, great prize support, too. They always have, like, glass-etched, like, glasses, like, sand-etched glasses and stuff like that. But, you know, but that's fan run. I don't think that's actually Gripping Beast who runs that. So, I mean, you could go both ways, but in all honesty, a company should have pretty decent control over the tournament scene, at least on, like, a grand tournament scale, like at Adepticon or something like that. All right, what do we got next?
Do you think tabletop? Oh, this is Slavic.
No, it's
use your Polish powers.
Koskukiewicz. Koskiewicz.
Hopefully, he either destroys you with a correction or.
That's the most Polish name I've ever heard in my life, because his name is literally Slavic.
Relents to your Polish powers.
I have Southside Chicago pronunciation. It's like if I, like my family's last name is like Lopaki, and then they like, and they're like, no, that's not the way you pronounce it. It's Lopiczki or something like that.
Punchki?
Yeah. And I'm like, what?
You
no, it's Lopaki. You go out and you do that.
You got one of them punchkis.
Yeah.
Do you think tabletop/board games will exist 10 to 20 years from now? And also, why am I so drunk?
Well, you're in Poland. You're in a former Eastern Bloc nation.
Reasonable.
It's pretty much most of your food consists of, you know, sausages, which is fine, but you know, I've eaten a lot of cabbage in Polish dinners, and I can tell you, I would be miserable afterwards as well, and I'd drink a lot.
I like cabbage.
Yeah.
Will they exist? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no question.
The board game renaissance the thing is that all these people who are buying board games right now are young people. They're in their 20s. They're, you know, they're single, they're hopping. They're eventually going to have kids, and their kids are going to grow up with board games in the houses, and they're not going to be Hasbro or Milton Bradley. They're going to be Settlers of Catan and Carcassonne. I mean,
Settlers of Catan is already Monopoly. Yeah. Like, it's already there.
But I'm just saying, yeah, Mayfair games, you're going to see, like, a lot of these different games, Fantasy Flight games, and these kids are going to grow up playing those games, and they're going to be, when they get older, they're going to be like, oh, these games are great, and they're going to continue that tradition on and on and on, especially with board games. RPGs, I always think there's going to be a market for RPGs because there's always going to be those people who discover that and that are going to like it.
Yeah, RPGs are... I mean, the other thing, too, is there's video game RPGs, and as long as video game RPGs exist, the tabletop RPGs will exist because they feed off one another.
Yeah, and miniature games... I'd like to believe that they will exist.
Miniatures games will absolutely not exist in the... I believe every miniatures game will eventually just be X-Wing. and everyone's just playing X-Wing. I mean, like, miniatures games will be that. Like, you will buy pre-done everything. And even then, like, I think that if you're going to talk the dying market of tabletop games and you want to talk what's dying, miniatures games is what's dying. Like, yeah. new people don't get into the game at any sort of good frequency. They're very expensive. They're time-consuming. They take up a huge amount of space.
What's going to change that, though, is 3D printing. When 3D printing becomes available at home, you'll see a lot more people playing
miniatures. Well, and smaller games. I think if miniatures game are going... If miniatures games, as they are going... Like, the painting hobby-based ones are going to survive into the future. They're all going to be games like Arena Rex or Mercs, where you have a very small amount of figures.
I disagree. I always think that there's going to be those Grognard gamers who want to do...
They're going to die.
Yeah, but
they're going to die.
But you go to, like, these old... There's a lot of young people still playing. Not a ton of young people. Don't get me wrong.
It's the frequency of addition. Like, yes, you're going to be able to find some young kid playing in the workshop store probably tonight. Like, there's probably some younger dude there. But he's just one. They're going to go off via attrition. Because for every three old-ass, crusty miniatures dudes that die, there's going to be, like, 0.25 kids getting into miniatures games.
I think it would be for every three to die, it'll be one. But
even that, I think that's generous. I think if you're in a bustling metro area, that might be an acceptable ratio.
But I also think that what I'm saying is that the Grognard gamer, there's always going to be that kid who like falls in love with a specific time period, like Napoleonics, and he's going to collect a Napoleonic army, even if not to play it, just to put it together and paint it. So that's like his hobby.
Well, yeah, but I mean that's the thing. You have to. I'm separating the two things. Collecting and painting something, like doing miniatures or models as your hobby, that's never going to go away.
Yeah.
People love models. Like, that's never going anywhere.
I'm going to make my Japanese Zero model, 170 second scale Zero model.
Sure. Like, that's a separate, completely separate entity. Like, we're talking games.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, a dude collect, like, some kid really getting into, like, the French Revolution, like, collecting Napoleonic stuff or whatever, or, you know, like, he's like, I'm making a recreation of Bastille Day. Like, okay. Sure, that's great, but that's not a miniatures game.
Get laid, kid.
I did.
Get laid.
On Bastille Day.
Ooh, I have baguettes.
I love baguettes.
Yeah, but I agree. I think home printing is gonna kind of change that market. It's going to be different after that.
We'll see. Yeah. I mean, it's going to happen presumably in our lifetimes. They're going to get good enough.
All right. Yeah. Last question of the night.
This is you.
With perfect timing... How do you bridge that divide between you and your opponent if they are clearly there in a tournament for something completely different than you? So for argument's sake, it's a butt action tournament, and the guy up opposite has a themed list, is cosplaying, and is a Rivet County Scotsguard player. Ugh. While you're just there playing a min-maxed or at least competitive German army because it's a game, and you're like, yeah, it's fun, but there's some prizes I could win. Let's play. This is for Joe more than Steve, but still... But still interested in what he has to say too, because sometimes it's miserable. You know what? You go there for you, not the other player. This is my thing. If I'm going to play this game, I'm going to play it on my terms. And if I'm playing to win, I'm going to play to fucking win. But if I'm there to have fun, I'm going to have fun. And if I'm there to cosplay as a Scotsguard, I'm going to stick a thumb up my butt and be like, I'm a Scotsguard.
I don't even know what that means.
It's some fucking... British thing. But yeah, if
are you sure it's not a Scotland thing.
The issue for me is like, what are you going to a tournament for? If you're going to a tournament to have fun, have fucking fun. Do it in whatever way you're going to have fun. If you're there to win, go there to win. If that guy's dressed up in a themed list or whatever else have you, let him do his thing. And you know what? Destroy him. Destroy him with your awesome fucking army that's designed to kill his army.
That is hopefully just primed and dry brushed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But well, your army should be just primed and dry brushed. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, your army. No, his army's going to be immaculate.
Yeah.
Your army's primed and dry brushed.
Well, my army's fully painted and it looks really nice.
Shouldn't.
That's just me.
It shouldn't.
I know, but I mean,
you're ruining it.
I know. I get it. Don't get me wrong. I get what you're saying. But me personally, I would just my army would have to be painted. No, because I want my army to be better painted than yours. And I want to beat you mercilessly with my better
painter. A lot of
those
super fluffy guys are really good painters because usually they're like...
They're not really. That's their thing. Bolt action is not...
Well, butt action is its own thing. Yeah, like,
there's historical players. But
it's because they're old.
They have the big
can't see
sausage fingers and can't hold the figures. And that seems,
I've hit a...
They got the gout.
I've had a bit of a revelation in terms of my like tournament-ness and miniatures games and stuff. And I pretty much agree with what you said, except my number one thing would be if you're there to have fun... That's great. You're playing a miniatures game tournament. That's probably what you should be doing. If you're there to win, you should not be playing a miniatures game. Because miniatures game tournaments, with the sole exception of, like I just said, War Machine Hordes, do not reward the person who is the best in the room. It is impossible for that to happen because the scoring system for all the games that aren't War Machine reward weakness of schedule. Because if I go and I massacre three people, I probably played against three people who aren't very good. Or I'm a dynamo. Like, but I think the option, I think the people who aren't very good is more likely than you being the dynamo, like to massacre them.
No, I get what you're saying.
And that dude, if I go to that tournament and my army's well painted, I'm not a dick, and I massacre three people, I'm going to win that tournament.
I'm not a dick.
If you go and your army is well painted and you get three minor victories, you will not win the tournament. You will walk away with probably nothing, and I win. Even though you could be a much better player than I am. And that's the thing. There's no way to like cut that out of the way miniatures work. So I think you should bring an army that looks nice, that is competitive, but not to like the 11 in terms of that miniatures game, unless it works. And it only works in a game like War Machine Horde. Supposedly Guild Ball is very much like that. And I know all the War Machine Horde guys are moving to Guild Ball, which is a reason to either play it or avoid it.
Is that a football game?
It says Guild Ball, so I assume
it's a sort of
fantasy sportsing.
Is it a game where there's a scrum?
People are trying to get me into it. And I'm like, no. So like it's
just smack it out of their hands. No. Yeah, don't be stupid.
So I mean I think playing a competitive army is good, but I don't think you because if you're that good at the miniatures game, you shouldn't need to min-max your army.
No.
Because most people who play miniatures games for them, like again, it's all generalization, but most people who play miniatures games are really bad at them. They're just bad.
Yeah.
Because miniatures games require like a lot of foresight, thought, and practice and play. And so if they haven't been playing a long time, like they're just bad. And some people just don't get it. Like,
oh my God. The Bolt Action Team Tournament. There's literally people I've been seeing on the boards who are saying like, hey, I'm really excited to play. This is going to be my first game of Bolt Action. And I'm like, no.
No. But that's exactly it. Like most people are bad. So like I used this analogy last night actually when we were discussing not you but I was discussing the same kind of thing.
It was like the Royal Wii.
Yeah, very good. The concept is the specifically this I'll say Kings of War. So the Kings of War competitive community and tournament level is a Fabergé egg, and when you bring the ultimate cheese munchkin. Overpowered spam list that you can possibly bring in Kings of War, you're taking a sledgehammer to that Fabergé egg. You're gonna destroy the fuck out of it. Like, you have a sledgehammer. Like, that shit's going down. But on the other hand, it's still a Fabergé egg. You could just reach out and crush it.
Yeah.
So why go through the effort of, like, hefting that big-ass sledgehammer and, like, bringing it down on the egg? But, I mean, some people, they really want to see that egg explode under the force of a sledgehammer.
That's me.
Which is fine. But I'm of the mind where I think I could just reach out and crush it. So I'll go for the reach out and crush it. Plus, the worst thing when you're super competitive at miniatures games, there's so much variance flying around most of them. If you get diced, it's the worst. Because you're like, my fucking list is better than you. I'm fucking playing better than you.
Well, that's what happened to me on Monday night. You got diced? It was like one of the worst.
Hashtag wrecked.
It was one of the worst losses that I've experienced in a long time. And I was just like, I mean, I took the loss fairly well. I was just like, there's no way I can do this. I mean, like, I was a bit salty, but I mean, it wasn't like I was more salty at Del Noir for the rules argument than
the,
anything.
The theoretical rules argument.
than like the actual loss. Cause I'm like, you know, sometimes you lose and it's like, we got hosed and it was bad.
Yeah.
I would definitely not recommend
that. That was like when my fucking Nurgle Terminators, like I always took them cause they were the best choice. They were what I should take. But dude, they'd get hit by like three, like fucking 10 guardsmen would light them up with las guns. And I'd just be like, well, I got to take 6 armor saves. And I'd roll 6 ones. I'm just like, cool. A lot of miniatures games are like that. So like, I think you should bring the list you want to bring. And if you want to bring the min-maxed Munchkin army, like that's fine. I don't care.
That's me.
But it's just like, again, it's the whole Fabergé egg sledgehammer thing. Now, if you're playing a game that is like a very tight competitive rule set, which are for miniatures games are few and fucking far between, if you are playing one of those rare miniatures games, then by all means bring the nastiest list you can, because everyone will be doing it, because that's the design of the game.
All right, well, that's about it for this week. Go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You could follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You could follow Steve on the Game Classy Facebook page /Game Classy Podcast. The best way you could support the podcast is like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. You could also like, comment, and subscribe on our YouTube page where I put up the videos, and usually it involves Steve's genitalia, and then that gets taken down, and I have to reload the video with a picture of the podcast.
You should have put hot anime titties on there.
Hot anime titties.
You really blew it out.
I know. You always yell at me for the hot anime titties. Oh, you know what?
Because you only did it once.
You didn't answer the question about the body pillows.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I said to save it for last.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay. If Steve and Joe were in a manga, what subgenre would it be? What would the fan service be, and what would the body pillows look like?
Okay, hold on. Let me finish the whole rant, and then you can say that for the at the end. Okay, right. You can save your answer for the end.
Very good.
Okay, so the best way you can also like, comment, subscribe on the YouTube page. The other things you can help out on is help out our sister podcasts or brother podcasts if you want to. We have
Srother.
We have the game. We have the Comic Book Logic podcast where me and Kevin review comic book movies. Right now, we just finished up Man of Steel, and we're going to be doing Batman v Superman. We're going to see it tomorrow. Going to review that one. Going to be out next week. And you could also like the Play On podcast, aka Pat's Retro Video Game Review podcast, where Steve and Pat talk about video games along with Cole and Giuseppe if he decides to show up and not sleep in.
And Kyle,
you know, they got a whole round table of people going on there.
We got a round table discussion.
And they all jerk each other off about Nintendo games.
And mostly just the two of us. But I love Nintendo games.
Jerk off over Nintendo games. Nintendo games. It's ridiculous. It's
so good.
I always make fun of Pat because I say that Nintendo sheen that he talks about is just the jizz of all the 30-year-olds.
Polish.
Right? The
polish.
It's from the jizz of all the 30-year-olds.
It's not a legit thing. Like, all the video games that come out nowadays, they're just like riddled with bugs.
Jizz.
Doesn't happen with Nintendo games.
Not Grimrock 2. The game is awesome.
Well, indie games are like either unplayable bug level or pretty clear.
Yeah. Anyway, so Steve, until next week.
If we were in a manga, the genre would definitely be slice of life. Absolutely. No question. Slice of life is the most relatable, and like, it would just be about our daily, like, it would probably be like, I wish I could say it in Japanese, so I'll just be like, Hensho Genki Ka, which is our daily gaming life. That would be the name of the manga, and it would be about our antics and adventures in gaming, you know, like playing tabletop games, miniatures, whatever. That would be the subgenre for sure. The fan service would be a wild mix between like something that would attract bears and dudes who are into hairy, sweaty dudes. That would be one part. And the other part would be very rarely there would be like a scantily clad girl in it. And that would be the one girl that goes into the game store and then flees in terror. That would also be part
of the
fan service.
I like the idea of bears, but it's not like the big hairy gay guy bears.
But just bears. Like actually just like bears like, are attracted to it. I mean, maybe.
But they could be in S&M gear. I'm okay with that.
I mean, it's a manga, so like one of the players could just be a bear.
Okay. I'm like, a, I'm, it, I'm buying this.
Bearson. It could be Bearson, and he's in S&M gear, and he plays 40K.
Like,
he plays Eldar.
If you put out this
there's
manga,
a character. He plays Eldar.
If you put out this manga, I would pick it up at least and try to read it.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, Bearson. So, and then the body pillows, there would absolutely be at least three. So one would be clearly Bearson at this point.
Yeah.
And Bearson, the front would be him kind of like looking like demure. They usually are like that, yeah. Like looking kind of demure, like, you know, with his paws on his face, like, ooh. And he would just look like a bear, not anthropomorphized in any way, just a bear. But he'd have anime expressions.
Okay.
And so he'd be like looking demure, like, ooh. And then the back would be him like kind of like presenting his ass and like looking back towards the camera with a ball gag.
Okay.
That would be Bearson.
Okay.
And then the front would be me on a pile of Pokemon cards.
Okay.
And I would have, like, I'd be kind of, like, half asleep, like, looking like, oh, like, in the morning. You know, a little bit of, maybe a little, like, drool line. And in boxers. And then the reverse side, I would have, you know, I'd be just splayed out. Like,
oh, yeah?
Like, just splayed out, flopping, not erect, just, like, tiny dick. Like,
yeah.
Like, over, like, my pillow bag scrote.
Okay.
And my floppy man titties in my hands, and my beard like greased up with oil, and it'd be like, I'd like looking with blush. And then for you,
okay,
on the front half would be you, like, you'd have like your hand like would be reaching towards your pants,
yeah,
and you would be holding up a small World War II miniature,
okay.
And you'd be looking like at the miniature, like, but also kind of forward. So,
okay.
So if someone were to look, they'd be like, does he want the miniature? Does he want me? Does he want
both? Is it like when the Iron Chef's about to bite the pepper?
Yes.
Okay.
The desire is there.
Yeah. Or I should say the, whatever the chancellor, whoever the guy is.
Yeah.
Iron Chef.
The chancellor.
Yeah.
I think it's what he is. And then the back would be you nude, but on like kind of like a body paint camo look with
I like this.
With a hat, with a helmet, some historical helmet.
Okay.
Whatever, so
like
you
a German Kaiser helmet.
Sure, a Kaiser helm.
Okay.
And then you'd have the tent.
Ooh.
You'd have the tent. And that would be.
Could I be in full military? Could I just be like shirtless, but like military pantaloons?
Yeah, and that's okay. where the tent is. You're tenting.
I agree with. I will sign off on this.
You're tenting, and then there would definitely be at least one of the girl in the hot girl who shows up at the game store, and the front would be her, you know, demure, kind of like lingerie looking, but the back would just be a bedspread because she's gone.
Okay. I was also saying for me, you could also have me on the front with the painting, the guy on the back. It's just me with a horse body.
Mm. Yes. Well, you have to have like a special horse size pillow for that.
Yeah, I would be okay.
I'm sorry, the horse shaped pillow.
I would be okay with like a centaur joke.
Yeah, the centaur pillow is my favorite. My favorite thing about the centaur pillow is on the advertisement for it, they have all of the ways to hold it, and one of them is him just leaning on it with a martini in his hand.
All right, then.
If anyone wants to send me the centaur body pillow, just saying.
Game classy.